On the 4th of February, New South Wales Attorney General Michael Daly introduced a bill which, if passed, would make New South Wales the first state to remove good character as a mitigating factor in criminal sentencing. The bill was a response to the recommendations of the New South Wales Sentencing Council report on this subject. Felicity Graham is a barrister at Black Chambers and was a member of the 16-person council that issued the report, although she was one of the two members who wrote a dissenting opinion. Felicity, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Great to be with you, Julian.
What are the current restrictions on taking into account good character as a mitigating factor in criminal sentencing?
So I think it's really important to understand what the current state of the law is, because when a court sentences an offender, they take into account a whole range of different factors relating to the crime committed and also relating to the offender themselves. Those factors can have different levels of importance or weight in the ultimate outcome that is imposed. Under the current law, prior good character is available as a mitigating factor as a general proposition, but courts already have the power to say in a particular case that an offender's prior good character has little or perhaps no weight in that particular case. So, for example, in cases of ongoing physical or sexual abuse, that might be an appropriate case in which a court makes such a finding. In New South Wales, we also have a special rule in relation to child sexual offences that has been in the statute for a while now, and that prevents an offender's prior good character being taken into account as a mitigating factor if it has facilitated their offending. So, for example, they've relied upon their good standing or their position in the community to gain access to children to offend against them.
Okay, so there's a limited restriction at the moment in New South Wales, and it's a matter of discretion otherwise, but this bill would simply exclude it entirely. There's probably one other thing I should have asked you, Felicity. What actually is good character?
Yeah, it can be a range of things. So I don't think it's necessarily able to be encapsulated in a really tight framework, because there's so much diversity in our community, and the way that good character might manifest in a particular person's life is going to be varied according to their experience. But typically, offenders might seek to rely upon evidence from an employer about having a good work history. They might rely upon evidence from a family member, a teacher, or someone close to them in their life about their honesty, their role in the family as a carer, the works that they've done in the community to support others or do good works. It can involve acts of bravery. Listeners will be very familiar with the extraordinary bravery of Ahmed Al-Ahmed at Bondi recently. That kind of backstory can be part of a good character picture, but can't necessarily be neatly confined, because it's going to really depend on an individual's human story. People have a lot of different ways in which they contribute in society. It doesn't always neatly fit into the rubric of a risk assessment for particular offending, but it's still an important part of who they are as a human being. And I think courts should be able to take that into account. The other thing I think that's really important to emphasise is there's been a lot of focus in this debate about the experience of victims of particularly heinous crimes like child sexual abuse or sexual offending. That's not actually anywhere near what most of the cases that the sentencing courts deal with are about. The local court deals with about 95% of cases. And mostly we're talking about things like traffic offences, minor property offences like theft, drug offences, many offences that would fall into a category of being more in the nature of a victimless crime, if I can use that sort of loosely.
under this law, if it was passed, would it be impossible to take into account extraordinary acts of bravery or something like that for a criminal defendant?
I think that example is kind of useful to tease out the issue because conduct risking your own life to save others, that's not going to neatly fit into some of the other headings of mitigating factors like risk of reoffending or prospects of rehabilitation. So, yeah, I think there's a real question for people to consider. Should conduct like that, risking your own life to save others, be ignored by a sentencing court? I would suggest no, it's part of the human story that informs a court so they can impose a just, humane and appropriate sentence.
The majority of the sentencing council decided that consideration of good character harms victims of crime. Why did they say that? And do you disagree with that?
Well, of course, my colleagues on the sentencing council considered this issue really carefully. And of course, we need to take victims' trauma really seriously. But I think we also need to be honest about what's being done in their name. This, what I would say, is quite one-dimensional idea that fairness to an accused person is inherently harmful to victims. That has to be challenged. A just system can hold space for victims' trauma and remain principled, fair, and restrained. Victims are not fragile obstructions. These are people who've survived extraordinary harm. Many understand and expect that sentencing involves hearing difficult things, including about an offender's life. I've worked with survivors of crime, and frankly, it's insulting to suggest that overturning centuries of sentencing law is justified on the basis that they cannot tolerate complexity. Many survivors of crime would strongly disagree with that characterisation.
But wasn't it also the case that many victims of crime groups did support removing this mitigating factor?
Well, one of the striking aspects of this kind of advocacy campaign is that even the advocates pushing for reform were not calling for anything as radical as what is being proposed by the government. So the concern was about how character evidence was used in particularly sexual abuse and domestic violence cases, not abolishing good character as a mitigating factor altogether. So the fact that even the advocates pushing for reform were not asking for something so extreme perhaps should ring some alarm bells.
All right, let's move on to another one of the arguments of the majority of the sentencing council. They said there's not equal access to good character mitigation. And they quote, I think, one submission which says that in that community organisation's experience, it's basically privileged white men who get the benefit of good character being a mitigating factor in sentencing. And as a privileged white man who's been charged with a criminal offence in my past, I can certainly say I'd certainly tried to take advantage of it. I'm not sure how effective it was. But what's your perspective on this idea of the privilege discount in sentencing?
Yeah, look, I certainly acknowledge that criticism that good character can be used unfairly as a kind of privilege discount. But the idea that good character only helps the privileged just is not true in my experience. I worked for a number of years in criminal defence in Western New South Wales at the Aboriginal Legal Service in Dubbo and Broken Hill and the surrounding communities. And I saw good character findings by courts make a real difference for people who had lived hard lives but still acted responsibly, cared for family and community, showed honesty, showed restraint in their lives, had contributed in First Nations communities in exceptional ways. Where access to justice is uneven, that is a real problem, but that doesn't mean that the principle itself is the problem. And one of the concerns that I have is that the way in which the harshest edges of our criminal justice system tend to operate is to disproportionately mete out that harshness to the most vulnerable, the most socially disadvantaged in our society, Aboriginal people, homeless people, people with mental health problems. And I'm concerned that that could occur here.
Will it still be possible if good character is eliminated as a mitigation, to take into account individual factors and the whole person when considering what sentence a person who's been convicted of a crime should get?
Look, this change will, I think, make sentencing messier rather than clearer, but certainly courts will still be receiving relevant evidence, important evidence about offenders and their lives. So there are a range of mitigating factors that overlap with the relevance of prior good character, things like the risk of reoffending, things like an offender's prospects of rehabilitation, material that is often part of a letter from, say, an employer or a family member, includes evidence about remorse for actions. So the situation that we might be faced with is that courts and lawyers will be left guessing about what evidence can be used and what must be ignored. And there is a real risk that relevant human evidence about an offender's life will be wrongly excluded. And that leads to confusion, to appeals, to delay, to injustice.
You argue in your dissenting report that the concept of good character properly applied is accessible and inclusive. Is it properly applied, in your view, in courts at the moment?
There are obviously cases where sentencing courts get things wrong, not just on good character, on a whole range of things, but we have an appeal system that allows any errors in a particular case to be addressed through that appeal system. So this change, taking away the discretion of judicial officers in that instinctive synthesis process, that inherently human process of sentencing, it's quite insulting to courts because they are sentencing people every day and getting it right every day. Sentencing works because judges are allowed to weigh up all the relevant factors together, what we call this process of instinctive synthesis. And if you strip out good character and you force judges into a ticker box type exercise, that's not justice. It's mechanical punishment. And as I said in my dissent in the Sentencing Council report, sentencing is not a mechanical exercise, but involves an inherently human task. Sentencing has to stay human because once it stops being human, it stops being just.
Your dissent also says that this decision is reactive to populist demands for a more severe approach to sentencing. What are you referring to there?
Look, abolishing good character as a mitigating factor for all offences, for all offenders, isn't about fixing a problem in sentencing, in my view. It's about optics. It's a classic law and order response driven by populist pressure. And when governments legislate for headlines instead of justice, the law almost always overshoots, and that's what's happening here.
You also say that you think this change, if it comes in, will result in extensive litigation over many years and unintended consequences. I got the impression that there's already extensive litigation over these sorts of things, but what are you referring to in that concern?
Well, this issue in terms of the evidence that an offender might seek to rely upon being relevant and admissible for particular mitigating factors that might overlap with the question of good character. So things like the risk of reoffending, their prospects of rehabilitation, which are recognised and remain in the sentencing law. And the intersection of those issues and also issues to do with the moral culpability of an offender, because good character, in many cases, that evidence tells us something important, that this conduct was out of character for the person. It can reflect in that way a lower moral culpability, as well as those other things like strong prospects of rehabilitation or a low risk of reoffending. So good character can go to this really essential question of moral culpability. Was this conduct an aberration? Was this conduct out of step with a person's values and life? Sentencing is about blameworthiness, not just risk management. So good character helps answer that question. And I foresee that there will be appellate litigation trying to disentangle these things.
And Felicity, you were on the Sentencing Council, I think, for a decade. Your term's expired now. In your experience over that decade, is it rare for there to be a report that's issued with a dissent like happened in the case of Good Character?
It's the only one I'm aware of in the decade that I've been on the Sentencing Council.
All right. Well, the bill is before Parliament, so we'll find out whether it passes. But thank you so much for giving us your perspective on the issue on Sunday Extra today.
My pleasure, Julian.
That's Felicity Graham, barrister at Black Chambers and one of the two New South Wales Sentencing Council members who dissented from the council's recommendation to abolish good character as a mitigating factor in criminal sentencing.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.